Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as we've been hearing, massive electricity outages hit parts of Spain and Portugal at lunchtime today. Trains, metros, traffic lights, ATMs, electronic payments, all aspects of life have been affected and continue to be affected in many areas. The Portuguese grid operator says the fault was in the Spanish electricity grid related to a rare atmospheric phenomenon. Paul Dean is Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy in UCC and he joins us now. And Paul, you're very welcome. I think everyone a bit taken aback today that a power cut on this scale could even happen. Are you surprised about it?
Look, it's a really significant event and quite surprising. And unfortunately, you know, modern infrastructure isn't always resilient to these type of atmospheric conditions. I guess, look, these type of catastrophic failures can be caused by two things. They're either you compromise your ability to make power or generate power, or your ability to move power. Now, the information that we have at the moment is telling us that it was really the second one, was the inability of the power system operator to move power smoothly and uninterrupted through Spain that triggered the event. Now, power is moved through big power lines, and power lines are made of metal, and metal interacts with temperature in different ways. If it gets very hot, metal can expand, and power lines can actually sag. And if it gets very cold, they can actually contract. And the information that we're getting today from the power system operator is telling us that there was a sequence of unusual temperature events through the center of Spain today, which caused vibrations essentially to kind of happen in a number of power lines. Now, typically, Sarah, that's nothing unusual. Power system operators would typically be able to deal with this type of thing. But it was pretty significant. And what had happened was it impeded the ability for them to flow power smoothly through power lines. And that caused instability. And in many ways, you can think of a power system like a calm lake. You need it to be calm and uniform for it to work correctly. And if you throw a stone into that lake, it can cause ripples. And today, these instabilities caused ripples throughout the Spanish power system, spread into the Portuguese power system, almost spread into the European power system, but they disconnected in time. And what that happened in was a series of cascading failures. Power plants weren't able to connect. And then you get this kind of domino effect, if you will, where one falls and they all fall. And the whole power system, almost all the power system collapsed very quickly at 10:30 local time this morning in Spain. So a really significant event. Yeah. Thankfully, it doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, we see the devastating consequences of the outcomes.
Yeah, and as you've alluded to there, there's a big, very technical statement from the Portuguese grid operator, but they've said that the cause relates to, quote, extreme temperature variations. Do we know whether that was that it all got too hot or too cold? And do we know why it got too hot or too cold? Because, you know, it's April.
Yeah, it was probably a little bit of both. Just before we come online there, I was looking at the weather reports from Spain. What tends to be, it wasn't actually extreme temperatures themselves, but extreme temperature differences between one part of the day and the other part of the day. Mm-hmm. Now, again, in and of itself, this happens a lot of the time, and power system operators should be able to deal with this. I think there's a thing that's surprising and there's a thing that's not surprising. The thing that's not surprising to me is that it's related to weather. Typically, most catastrophic power failures, if we saw this in Texas back in 2021, tend to be related to some extreme weather phenomenon. What is surprising, though, is that it's linked to this one event. I think over the next couple of days, as we learn more into the root causes of this event, it will become clear that it probably wasn't just one singular line or one singular event. What tends to happen with a lot of these catastrophic failures is that one event kind of cascades into another. They tend to magnify and amplify each other. And again, you get that domino effect. And what happens essentially is that the failures get ahead of the power system's operator's ability to contain it. So when you lose containment, you get catastrophic failure.
And that interconnectedness that you're talking about there, is that a flaw then in how it's set up? Should there not be some sort of break in the system to try and prevent that contagion?
Yeah, so connected power systems they have positives and negatives. Typically, the positives are far stronger. If you're having a challenge, for example, if we're having a challenge here in Ireland, for example, in generating enough electricity, we can just import power from the UK, and that helps us, and that helps us balance the power system. Now, the challenge, what happened today, is that it's grand if you have a problem, your neighbour might be able to solve it, but if your neighbour has a problem, they can also send that problem across the system. And the Spanish power system wasn't able able to disconnect quickly enough from the neighbouring power systems, and that's why you got this kind of contagion. Now, again, this is nothing new. Typically, power system operators are able to deal with faults. We plan for them. They know that if power lines, they know that power lines fail, and they typically have contingency plans to make sure that the power system can operate when a number of power lines fail. But what's unusual today is that you got this sequence of unusually occurring failures that tended to get run away very quickly from the power system operator. And again, when the power system runs away from you very quickly, you get this collapse, which can happen in a very short period of time.
Okay, and people have been in touch who have relatives or loved ones who are in some of the affected areas. Jared says that his son's school went to Barcelona this morning on a 4-day trip, but the school has contacted them to say they arrived and are safe and well. Now, how'd they get on as they're over there, we don't know yet. But another person says, my son's in Portugal until next Saturday and he has no access to cash as ATMs, his phone battery is about to die, and he's been told it could be a week before power is restored. And indeed, that statement from the Portugal grid operator does say it's estimated the full normalisation of the network could take up to a week. Why is it going to take that long?
Yeah, and this is one of the unusual things, I suppose, about these kind of large power system failures. They happen very quickly, but the restoration actually takes an awful long time. And really what the grid operator will have to figure out, first of all, is what is the root cause, because they don't want it to reoccur and to relapse. So they're trying to get a handle on really what was the root cause of this problem. Then they'll slowly try and bring certain areas back into the power system. Now, they will have a playbook for this. All power system operators have emergency plans, but the pace and how those plans play out really depends on how certain integrations and reattachments to the grids go. So they'll take a kind of a steady as it goes approach and try and bring on vulnerable customers, strategic infrastructure as best as they can. But they tend to take a very cautious approach. But, you know, we're talking a lot today about power lines and power systems, but it's fundamentally about people. It's people who are at the core and who are affected by this. And really, electricity is foundational to all our lives. But at the end of the day, it's really people who are impacted mostly by this.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, that man in Portugal now who has no access to cash and the ATMs are down, his phone battery is about to die, like, he probably wouldn't be regarded as a vulnerable customer, but he's in a pretty vulnerable situation. So it is difficult for people. Is this the sort of thing that could happen here, Paul?
It's something actually, power system faults and failures happen every week and every month across the world. But thankfully, power system operators are very agile and they're experienced and they're well able to deal with this. In Ireland, for example, about 11 months ago, we lost about two of our undersea interconnectors that were importing significant volumes of electricity from the UK at that time. Now, it happened in the middle of the night when the demand for electricity was quite low. But thankfully, the grid operator that we have here in Ireland was able to act in an agile manner, was able to contain it, and we all actually woke up in the morning and probably didn't even know about it. So when nothing happens, we don't really hear about it. But unfortunately, these events do occur. We do plan for them. We try our best. But again, I think the jury's still out on what the root cause of today's disaster was. But I think what we'll find and probably expect to see over the next few days, maybe even a number of weeks, that it wasn't one singular cause. It was a sequence of unintended consequences that tended to magnify and amplify each other up towards this catastrophic event.
Well, it's very interesting, and thank you for joining us to give us an insight into what is going on. That's Paul Dean, who's a senior lecturer in clean energy in UCC. And again, if you have people who are affected in any of these areas, you can text us to let us know the situation. 51551.